Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray Psalm 40 responsively. I waited patiently upon the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are they who trust in the Lord.
Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count.
Sacrifice.
And so I said, "Here I am. I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know.
I have not hidden
by the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe."
Glory to God.
Reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, and to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, for in every way you have been enriched by him. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, But I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What a joy to celebrate baptism on the Sunday that we hear about Jesus' baptism from the Gospel writer John. Last Sunday, we had Matthew's version of Jesus' baptism, and today we hear it from the Gospel writer John. And there's a striking difference in those two gospel or those two accounts of Jesus' baptism. And that is that in this Gospel, we get a great emphasis on John the Baptist and the name-calling. Not name-calling in a negative sense, but name-calling in an encouraging, uplifting sense. In the older ritual of infant baptism, the ceremony starts with the pastor asking the question, what name have you given this child? Our ritual today begins with the sponsor stating the child's name as he is presented for baptism. And then all through the ritual, that name-calling continues. Carter Armando, I baptize you. Carter Armando, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Carter Armando, you are a child of God. Names are very important. Not only do they tell you who you are, but names help us to define relationships too. Carter has his father's middle name. How many of you were named for your father or your mother? It seems that that's quite a tradition to name boy babies after the name of their father. I'm glad that it's not a tradition so much that girls get named their mother's name. My mother, I would be named Zelda Josephine. A nice name, but I like Karen better. We didn't have the custom in our family to have nicknames, but it was certainly the custom in our neighborhood and in our schoolyard to have shortened names or nicknames of some other sorts, Billy and Sue and Sissy. We had Tom and Bud, and the biggest guy in school was named Slim. When I was in middle school, I babysat for a family, and the mother's name was Philco. And I didn't know for years, until years later, that that wasn't her given name. She was named Philco because she talked all the time, just like the radio. Sometimes we get names given to us by how we are in physical look, or how we are in personality, or a shortened name or a nickname from our given name. You can also tell relationships by the name that people call. No one could call my father Junior except his Aunt Laura. I never figured out why, but anybody else that called him that would be in trouble. Everyone called my dad by his second name, Lee. And we always could tell if someone called him Albert, we knew that that person had never really met my dad, because no one called him Albert. That was not his, he never used that name. Some couples have names that they just use between the two of them. Sweetie, honey, names like that. Those terms of endearment that define a relationship. There may be names that you like to be called, and there may be names that you don't like to be called. And what those names mean in relationship to the other person, they tell us a lot about another person. I was talking to Ethan yesterday, and there's Ethan and his family all call Christy Kiki. And other people, like the church, call her Christy. And her family, I think Joan and the other people in the Joan's family kind of go back and forth. But you have to know, if you're talking to him and he says something about Kiki, if you didn't know that was her nickname, you'd not know who he was talking about. So names not only define the person, but they define the relationship. If you call Christy Kiki, we know that you know her her family, not just her. Her family and her and relationships. In this gospel today, we get some wonderful terms of endearment from John the Baptist referring to Jesus. The passage opens with John the Baptist shouting, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." Interesting choice of name. This name, Lamb of God, is only found in the Gospel of John. But we have really picked that up. We sing it every Sunday in the liturgy, the Lamb of God. And it pulls us back into that rich tradition of the Old Testament. This term not only tells us who Jesus is, but it also defines a relationship that we have, a continuing relationship with God. It's the lamb that the Israelites, who were slaves in Egypt, were told to sacrifice for the blood, to paint on their doorposts and the lentils on that first night of Passover. It was the blood of the lamb that identified them as God's beloved and chosen people, the ones that the angel of death passed over as he swept through the land of the Pharaoh, taking the lives of the firstborn. It was the lamb that was sacrificed by families in later years, those families of Israel in later years, as they annually remembered that Passover. Lambs were also sacrificed for atonement of sin as a sign of reconciliation of the sinner to God. And in the temple, prayers for forgiveness, a burnt offering would be made. Every part of the sacrificial animal was given over to the fire. It was a sign of a total offering of oneself, a radical trust in God. So when John talks about Jesus as the Lamb of God, he's certainly speaking the truth. Jesus is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world by bearing it in his own body to the cross, who made a total offering of his life that others might be redeemed from sin and death. John the Baptist sees Jesus as the fulfillment of that rich tradition, and he delights in calling out that name to all who will hear. Look, there is the Lamb of God. But the disciples aren't so convinced. They give no such term of endearment on their part. They don't call Jesus the Lamb of God. When he turns and sees them following, they call him Rabbi, teacher. Now, those names show a recognition of respect and authority, but not so much in terms of a relationship. When Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" they can only ask him, "Where are you staying?" And he says, "Come and see." This is an invitation not to just follow, but to see. John's gospel offers us opportunities to see, and he uses that image of seeing. John the Baptist calls them to look. John says, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." Jesus says, "See." The difference between looking and seeing, the gospel writer here draws a great picture for us. We see Jesus quietly, gently speaking, "What are you looking for?" And then just kind of walks away, ready for them to follow, but open to whatever choice they might make. And these new disciples do follow, and they do see for themselves. They not only see that this teacher, this Lamb of God, they come to see him as the Messiah, the anointed one. And now in the story, Jesus gets into the name calling. Brother Andrew, one of those disciples that see Jesus as Messiah, brings his brother the next day. And before they could even say a word, Jesus looks and says, "You're Simon, son of Jonah." Son of John. Then he gives him a nickname. "I'm going to call you Cephas." That means Peter. That means rock. So immediately, Jesus gives Simon a new name, gives him a nickname that defines maybe we could say that's what Peter looked like. Who knows what he looked like? Maybe he looked like a boulder. Maybe it's because he was thick-headed and thick as a rock. Maybe it was because he was had a firm foundation, that he would be the one that Jesus would later say that the church is built upon. But Jesus gives him this nickname, and it shows not only who Peter is, but it gives him a new identity. So what name do you use for God? Lamb of God, anointed, rabbi, teacher, Messiah, friend, brother, lover, helper? Does the name that you call God show a relationship that you have with God? Names are important. But I think an interesting question for you might be not what name do you have for God, but what name does God have for you? What name does God call you? The prophet Isaiah wrote, "I have called you by name. You are mine. I have written your name on the palm of my hand." Imagine God's hand, and your name is written on that hand, on God's hand, a tattoo of your name on the palm of God's hand. If you had a tattoo on the palm of your hand, you'd see it more than once a day. You see it constantly. God says, your name is written on the palm of my hand. What name are you called? Child of God, beloved, precious, set apart, chosen, mine. Listen for God to call you by name. Amen.